Welcome to the Hard Enduro Hosers podcast.
A Canadian podcast where we cover events, gear, and gossip we have absolutely no authority in. I'm Alex Christie.
And I'm Kyle Frozy.
Welcome to episode 5. We have Jason Hamburg on the line. Goes by In No Way Famous on Instagram.
And he's our very first guest on the podcast.
Yeah, welcome, Jason. Hopefully we didn't butcher your name too badly there.
No, you're all good. You're all good.
So we thought we'd open it up with just kind of asking more about yourself and where you started with biking. Were you, did you pick it up later in life or pretty early? Were you a young start?
I started riding back when I was, I think my first bike was a PW50, probably when I was like 2.5, 3.
You're a lifer.
I'm a lifer, yeah. My dad wasn't really like super into it, I guess you could say. But he just kind of always grew up like on the farm ripping on bikes and had the means to get us bikes. So I got a PW50 and kind of motoed and kind of learned the ropes, and then got into racing a little bit later when I was like 12 or 13. And I did that for quite a few years and kind of hit that great divide that everyone seems to get where it starts to become like girls and parties in the lake versus trying to make it. And I think I was pretty realistic in what making it meant. So I ended up, I actually kind of gave up on riding in general when I was about 18 or 19. Kind of got a job and took up a bunch of like other hobbies and ended up going to school and stuff. And then, yeah, probably in 2014, I was kind of starting to get the itch again and bought a KTM 125 and just started riding solely for the fun of it. And since then I'm riding way more now. And in my opinion, I'm kind of riding the best I've ever ridden just because I'm finding it the most fun it's ever been. So that's the down and dirty of my deal.
Yeah, for sure. So you drank the KTM Kool-Aid and then you went back to Yamaha?
Well, the KTM Kool-Aid that I drank was more of a, on Kijiji, I was like, hey, I'm going to get back into this. I know I want a two-stroke because I'm going to be super cheap. And I didn't really factor in that I was like 200 pounds and I was buying a 125. And I was more or less like, I just want something fun that's like super mellow. So it was the one bike on Kijiji that seemed like not a super bad deal. And the only thing I miss from my Austrian bike is the airbox. That thing was so good. And now I'm back to the Japanese airbox. But everything other than that, I switched over to the YZ250 in 2017. And
you bought it new in 17?
Yeah, I got it new in 17. The Yamaha dealer here is super rad. And they were just like down to kind of help me out a little bit. And I'm super stoked, and it's always fun. Like I joke, cause now they are the KTM dealer as well. And I joke that it's just fun to show up on a blue bike and everyone's, especially with like the off-road stuff, everyone's kind of like questioning what you're doing on a blue bike. And it's just a fun little, it's fun to be different, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Is it a 250X or just the Moto 250?
Yeah. So I just have the regular 252 stroke. When I first got the bike in 2017, I was still actually doing quite a lot of like moto, and I was actually riding some freestyle at the time, like freestyle ramps, and wasn't super, super into the off-road and hard enduro stuff. And then over the years, that's changed, and I've adjusted the bike quite a lot kind of each year. It's getting definitely more and more off-road focused, softer, and kind of all these different things that I've done to it to kind of make it the way I want it now. But yeah, it's just the regular one, and I've kind of made it pretty dang off-road at this point.
That's perfect. Yeah, I used to have one as well, and that kind of, I ended up even going as far as putting an 18-inch rear on it and whatnot. But for me, it didn't replace having the European bike.
He got addicted to the e-start. He couldn't kick.
Yeah, there's definitely times when you're like jacked up in some gully or some like weird position, and it's like, man, imagine if I could just press a button. But
yeah, I felt like I was all jacked up in a gully for like 2 years straight.
I think you were.
Yeah, that happens, man. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah. Yeah, Alex had to go and blow up his 500 and he was only left with the trials bike. So he was showing me how to ride. I got my first bike when I was, what, 20, 25? So,
oh, wow. Yeah,
I learned to ride on a YZ250 following Alex on his trials bike.
So you can imagine it was just a terrible experience with me going and just places you shouldn't take a big bike, and
it was, yeah, a shit show.
I had fun.
So judging by your Instagram videos, it looks like you've definitely got that motocross background.
Yeah, like I started, my dad wasn't super into it, so we kind of just were like gravel pit rock stars for quite a long time, and then he made the mistake when I was maybe 10 or 11 and took me out to a motocross track during a race one weekend. They had some signs, like, so he took me out there and I was like, this is the coolest shit I've ever seen. Like, yeah. I need to do this. And so I started racing, and then there were some people in my neighborhood who they raced, and we started to kind of ride together with them, and we got like full on into it, man. Like every weekend, kind of load up the trailer. My brother was into it, and we would, travel all over the province and race. And like, realistically, totally. In the grand scheme, I was never gonna like make it, but I look back on it now and it was, you know, not many kids get to hang out with their dad every single weekend for like 10 years straight. So,
For sure. And it makes a big difference when you got a bunch of guys to go with as well. Like,
yeah,
when you find like those motocross guys, it's like, it makes all the difference.
Totally. So yeah, no, I try to bring as much of the kind of moto into the off-road stuff, or vice versa, I guess you could say. I just think I think it's cool that if people can ride kind of everything, you know? So I try to do that myself.
Yeah. Your posts, you definitely seem to commit to stuff and be like pretty aggressive rider off-road.
Yeah. I think, I try to be, I guess, yeah, a mix of aggressive without being like a gong show, you know. I've ridden with people where I'm like, man, that's not a sustainable lifestyle the way you're approaching that. So I try to, yeah, like I said, be a little smooth with it while still kind of going for stuff, and finding ways to jump over things kind of is a fun time.
So all of your posts, they always seem to build everyone as kind of another level above the last one. Do you have a group of guys that are constantly pushing each other, or is it just you kind of, hey, I think I could do that because I did this? Like,
yeah, I actually, it's funny that you bring that up, because I feel really frustrated if I go out without something to work towards. And whether that's like this ride, I'm going to, you know, focus on riding in the balls of my feet, or some sort of like specific thing that I saw on Instagram that some pro did. And I'm like, I'm going to do like my version of that as best I can. So I do try to kind of self-motivate as best I can. And I'm also pretty conscious, like I feel bad at always asking people to film me, but I feel like when I do film myself, it almost kind of forces me to like shit or get off the pot. You know, it's like, if I'm going to get somebody to film this, I'm going to attempt it at least. So
you're going to make it worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was always our thing. Even when we were kids, it was like, hey, I'm going to try and hit this jump. Like say we're on a pedal bike, right? It's like, I'm going to hit this, and either it's going to be sick because I'm going to get this shot of me jumping it, or I'm going to like wad myself up and it'll still be worth it because I'll have footage of it. So I've always kind of, I guess, been that way. But
hey, that's a great way to be, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. Internally driven.
Do you have a bunch of guys that you go out with now for your single track and whatever else you're riding?
Yeah, there's a pretty cool crew. Like, I guess.
Are they all on blue bikes?
No, actually. I did get one of the guys I ride with quite a bit. He was on the fence and he ended up going to a 250X. So I feel a little bit of responsibility for that. But no, I'm kind of this weird, like, chameleon in the riding seat around here, where I'm like part got, you know, one foot in the moto scene and then one foot in the off-road scene. So I've been doing what I can to kind of try and merge those worlds and, you know, get people riding together and that sort of stuff. But yeah, growing up racing motocross, I have a ton of people that I, you know, if I feel like I want to do a track day or go hit a corner track, I can go and reach out to them. And then there's a pretty good like off-road scene and lots of people who are keen to go out and suffer and try stuff and do that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's cool. There's a lot of good guys to ride with here.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, just maybe we'll dig into your YZ a little bit. If you mentioned it's kind of slowly progressing into more of an off-road bike, you know, kind of the more personal dig-in questions. Tires, are you do you have a favorite tire, or will you run anything with nubs? Like, there seems to be kind of the two classes of people out there.
Yeah, it's, I was actually for a really long time, I was like, yeah, if it's not bald, it's good. And I'm really, really fortunate. I have a single track that I've built directly behind my house. Like, you literally drop out of my backyard. And I've been working on making it like as hard as possible. And I invited one of my riding buddies over, and there's stuff that I've kind of been like working on all summer to get pretty dialed. And then all of a sudden I invite this guy over and he's just like first trying everything. And I was like, my life is over. Like, this, what is happening right now?
And you have to have those people in your life.
Totally.
Yeah. The humblers.
Totally. And he's like, dude, don't worry about it. I just got this new back tire. Like, I'm a hero right now. And at that moment I was like, well, whatever that tire is, I got to try it. So it was a Midas, EF07. It's like this single green stripe.
My favorite.
And dude, it's like, it's not even a gummy. It's like just kind of soft enough. And I was like,
it's pretty soft.
Yeah. I threw it on and I was like, dude, this is so sick. So now I'm definitely a lot more appreciative of what a tire can do. So yeah, that's my setup. I run a single green stripe front and rear Midas on my bike. And I won't go back kind of to anything else, I don't think. Like, it's just such a, and then the nice thing is it's still hard enough that I can, like, I still do ride quite a bit of moto, so I can show up at the dirt bike track and not be like stressed out that I'm just gonna roll off the bead the whole time.
Yeah, we've played with that in the double green. And the double green seems to shed logs. Like, it's amazing, but my shortest one only lasted 3 rides, and just the shell just cut the logs off.
I'm a pretty big fan of my Shinko MX216 rear that I've got.
Yeah, it's almost a clone.
It's almost identical to an EFO7. It's got like a super soft carcass and stuff, but it's got those stiffer lugs, which is what I like.
Right.
I found the EFO7 was just kind of, it was almost too soft.
Right. One thing that I made the switch to, I run like full tubeless front and rear.
You're a tubeless guy.
I'm a tubeless guy, yeah.
That was our next question. Moose's tubes or tubeless?
Yeah, I started to kind of research it. And I mean, probably for a lot of what I do, a moose would make a lot of sense. But like I said, again, like, I do try to still ride moto. I'm doing all sorts of stuff. So to fully commit to like one pressure is really tough. So I did the tubeless system, and it's great. Like, it's, I mean, a little risky. You can't really let your tires get too clapped out or else they'll start to crack and you'll lose your pressure. But overall,
that's probably the best reason I've heard yet, is that you ride moto and enduro.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
It's the flexibility for me. Yeah. Like, I think if I was just like a diehard hard enduro guy, I just throw a soft moose in and call it good, right? But you do that, and then all of a sudden you're kind of hooped when it gets to the track day. It's like super scary to ride.
So maybe that's why I'm terrible at moto.
Yeah, there's our excuse right there.
It must be the mooses.
Hell yeah, dude. That's the move. No, hey, you know what, though? You lose it. Like, me and a buddy went down to ride a bunch of single track and kind of stuff down in the Lower Mainland last fall. And on the first night we got there, we stopped in and we rode Popgum. And it was kind of my first time riding a track in quite a while. And I was just like down on myself after that, like so scared. And I didn't jump like half the jumps and stuff, but I'd been riding so much like hard enduro that going that fast and like hitting jumps was just so scary. So it was my mission this spring. I was like, no, I got to like ride some moto. I got to get over third gear. Like, it's really tough to ride everything well. You know, you can ride everything poorly, but there's not a lot of fun in that either. So. Yeah,
whatever you're spending the least time at suffers.
Totally.
And that's exactly what I'm working on too this year, I think, is trying to get better at the faster stuff. We got the slower stuff at a pretty good level where I'm happy with, but the faster stuff is definitely taking a pretty hard beating.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It happens. It's all good.
Yeah.
The suspension, have you done anything with that, or are you still running the stock Triple S? I'm guessing if it's 2017.
Yeah. When I first got my bike, I was still doing actually some like freestyle stuff. So my suspension is whack, dude. But it's also very, very good. So I got it revalved from a place down in Vernon called Rider's Edge.
Yep.
And yeah, Ian did my KTM actually at the time, because I was doing a lot of freestyle at the time with that. When I sent him my like form kind of explaining what I wanted, he called me right away and he's like, hey, I think my online form went weird because it says you do freestyle and hard enduro. I'm like, yeah, dude, that's can you figure that out for me? And he's like, well, I'll do my best. So
so how is it?
It's honestly like, I don't know any better, but I love it. Like I run it pretty soft compression wise with a pretty fast rebound. And I'm a little heavier. Like I'm probably 190, probably 200 and some with gear. So yeah. I have stiffer springs front and back, but,
Oh really? You had to go stiffer springs on that thing?
Yeah.
No, I found, when I had my 06 YZ250, I found the motor springs were actually pretty decent. Like I'm 200 pounds plus gear.
Right.
And I found it worked pretty good.
Right.
The freestyle hits though, they'd be...
But the freestyle hits, that's something totally different.
Yeah, like it's pretty crazy if you have good suspension and you say you overshoot like a 75 foot ramp and you got stock stuff, like your life sucks. But if you have good stuff, you're just kind of just like, okay, well, like that sucked, but I'm fine, you know? So, I don't know what I'll do with my next bike. Like I'll probably still send it to Ian and get him to kind of come up with something for me. And I'll probably end up going a little bit more suited towards like a mix of moto and hard enduro, which I think will be a more realistic kind of thing to try to achieve.
KTM 250 XC or something like that?
For next bike?
Yeah.
No, man. 250 X Yamaha.
Oh my goodness. Yes. He's a diehard.
Blue crew, committed. Dude. Blue crew.
Blue crew.
Heck yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's inspiring too, watching, like seeing your posts with the YZ. I mean, a lot of guys cross country race them. They're very popular for that, but you ride some really just shitty lines and watching the Yamaha work through it. I don't know. It's inspiring.
And for me, I've ridden a bike similar to that, so I know more or less the ins and outs and of what's super shitty about riding that bike in those certain situations. So I can really appreciate your videos.
But also, it's super great. Like they're light, eh?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, dude, I guess I don't know any different, because like I came from a 125 2004 KTM, so like I had to kind of make that work, you know? So when I moved to this bike, I'm like, whoa, I actually have power and I actually have suspension that works and I have all these things. So I guess I don't know any different, but at the same time, it is fun because I feel like you're a little bit under the radar or a bit of like considered an underdog on it.
Oh, which, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think that outside of like Electric Start, I feel pretty confident and,
oh, the hydraulic clutch though is so silky.
Hey, you know what? I put a that's another thing I did. So I put a company called Zeta or Zeta. Oh man, I feel bad.
Yeah.
They make a like a clutch perch that has a different place that you can position your cable. And
Yeah,
like everyone that I ride with that rides KTMs or Huskies, they'll feel my clutch and be like, yeah, that's really good. And so,
hey, that's perfect. Yeah. I can't ask for more than that.
No. So that was that's a pretty big move. That clutch perch, it helps a lot for sure.
Well, you're definitely killing it on the YZ.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. And that's the other thing, like that, I guess that YZ 250, that might just be the perfect in between for enduro and freestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. And the motocross. Yeah.
Totally. I don't do a ton of freestyle anymore. I'm too scared. But
growing up and getting old, eh?
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
That's the freestyle's a young guy's game anyways.
It is. It's a young man's game.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into the FXR situation.
Oh yeah. I mean,
like, how does a guy get into that?
Yeah, pretty decked out.
Working. Yeah. So actually it's funny that I was just about to mention when you guys were saying freestyle is a young man's game, one of my good buddies, Luke Wheeler, he's actually from Vanderhoof. He's still like crushing it, dude. He just had a kid and he's freestyling it up, like doing shows and stuff. But he started riding for FXR maybe 2014, 2015. And I kind of just watched like the progression of it and all that sort of stuff. And then one day I was starting to actually kind of look into getting some new gear. And I had noticed that Luke's stuff just was like so rad and so like stretchy. And I was like, hey man, can I try some gear today? And he wasn't down with that, but he was like, well, no, yeah, but you should like buy some for sure. So I reached out actually, a guy I used to race with, Greg Small, he works for those guys. And I reached out to them and I was like, hey dude, you know, can I buy some gear? And they sent me some gear that I picked up. And I was like, yeah, this stuff is super rad. So after buying that first set, I bought a few more sets. And then just kind of over the years, I've kind of just been sending them photos and sending them videos and stuff. And they've kind of helped me out and hooked me up, sent me the odd thing. And I was not super brand loyal at the start. I was more or less just looking for something that wouldn't fall apart and would be comfy. And I'm super loyal to them now. Like, they've helped me out a ton and their stuff's good. So I dig it.
That's what I've had a hard time finding. It seems like all the climb gear is kind of the benchmark, and then anything under that has been just wearing out super fast for me. Mm,
yeah. Do you guys know a place called Chaparral? It's in like Southern California. It's like this huge...
Yeah, Chaparral Motorsports?
Yeah, yeah. My dad has a place in Phoenix. So for a couple of years, me and my brother have always like gone down and we've gone to watch Anaheim 1, and then we'll like drive over to my dad's place in Phoenix. And when we go down to Anaheim 1, Chaparral's obviously like right by there. So we'll go and it's like, dude, it's like a Costco, but dirt bike gear. And
that's magical.
That's unreal.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I remember right after I got my first set of FXR gear, we were at Chaparral and I was like, yeah, I'm going to pick up like a whole bunch of gear. It's going to be so sick. And there wasn't any gear that I was like stoked on in comparison to the FXR stuff. I was like, what am I doing? Like,
really?
Yeah. I mean, I would say at like probably the closest was maybe Fly. Their stuff was like pretty stretchy and seemed like it was pretty good. But then at that point I was like, well, I'd rather support a company that's like Canadian, you know? So yeah.
FXR is Canadian?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They started in Manitoba. They're like big haunt, big dogs in like snowcross and stuff.
Which
makes sense from Manitoba. It's like friggin' a barren wasteland.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's all they have there is FXR.
Yeah, totally. So yeah. So anyway, that's kind of how I got involved with those guys. And
cool. I'm pretty sold on FXR gear then. Might have to give a set of pants a whirl at least.
Try the another thing I was joking the other day. I've never had a pair of pants with pockets in them. Like,
oh, pockets are magical.
Dude, you grow up like so riding nice. Moto and you're like, who's got pockets in their pants? What a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah.
And now they sent me some clutch off-road gear and it has the pockets. And I'm like, this sucks not having pockets. Like all my other gear, I'm just like, I'm not going to wear anymore because it's like, it just sucks. So
we're diehard absolutely. Pocket guys. What's the Fox line? Is it the Union? You have a bunch of it.
Oh, I don't know.
We're pretty
I
much
think
that
so.
In climb just because they're the only options with pockets.
The only reason I went away from pockets on this pair of Moose pants that I bought was because I got a climb knackback and I had them on the straps. But like, other than that, it's like a guy has to have pockets of some sort.
Yeah, it's good, man. I got every pair of pockets I have has like a couple pairs of earplugs. I got like a granola bar. It's great. I love it.
So you're suggesting the clutch line?
Clutch off road. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Perfect. Okay.
Perfect. Well, that sounds, definitely need to look into that stuff. because all of my pants fall apart immediately. I find the knee braces are hard on pants.
Yeah, knee braces are tough on pants, especially dependent on like what knee braces you have. Some of them just chew them up and spit them out. It's crazy.
Yeah, we're Jacob and I are running the Liat X frames, C frames.
Okay.
C frames. Yeah, yeah. And it seems like just the side of the pants just gets an absolute shit kicking.
Right.
Just getting worn, and I think it's gotta be just because of that hard plastic bar that you got on the side there.
Right.
Hour wise for your riding, how many hours do you put in? Like, it seems like you're riding every day. Do you put on a fair bit or kind of just mix and match your shots from here and there?
No, like,
do you have an hour meter on the YZ? I'm curious.
I do. I do have an hour meter, but I have to admit I didn't put it on for the first season. So I've kind of had to like extrapolate what I kind of have ridden over the last 2 years versus what I rode the first year. My best guess is probably somewhere just over 300 hours right now on it.
Yeah. And still like to stock top end and everything, or you're starting to really
throw parts at it? I've done, this is my third top end. So every kind of 100 hours I've done that. But yeah, I mean, like this past winter was the first winter with studs and I put around like 40, 45 hours on it. So, I put a decent amount of hours. Like we try to do big motos or like lots of engine hours, you know. I don't have a ton of time in my day to day to just like go out for a whole day. So it's like, if we're going to be riding, like let's ride type thing.
Yeah. The studded tires is pretty wild. You don't see a lot of pictures of people dragging fender in the snow.
Yeah. Like I said, I put a kind of like the sheet metal screws in a couple of years ago, and it was fun until like you get kind of too much snow and you can't ride anywhere but a lake with those, cause they'll just blow out. But I put like actual grip studs in this year. And actually a friend of mine, he gave me a set, and then halfway through the season, I actually bought new rubber, pulled all the grip studs out and put them into the new set of rubbers. And yeah, they're rad. We just like did a little track in his backyard that we kept snowblowed, and it was a lot of fun.
That's beauty. I tried with the whole riding and snow thing, but I got too frustrated, even with the studs. I was over it in a hurry.
Dude, riding in like snow versus riding ice, like ice is basically just imagine like really good traction. Riding in snow is like
ice is good.
Yeah,
snow sucks.
Snow is like weird mud sand where it just like it just
the old quicksand.
Oh man, it grabs you so fast, and like you got to be really on it, and it's tiring for sure.
You gotta be feeling pretty good coming into this season though. I mean, having basically taken almost no time off, there's no like getting back into the groove.
Yeah, not really. It's like, I mean, it's definitely different. Like the first little bit of riding we've been doing here has been like sand pit moto tracks. And the big adjustment was getting used to the speed. Like all winter, we're just riding second, third gear, just kind of like, it's a lot more technical stuff. So getting used to the speed of like more of a moto style has been a little weird. But I think like confidence wise, lots of what we did this winter was just a lot of technique and like, okay, how much can we do not dabbing and like jumping up over stuff and all that. So
that all makes a big difference.
Oh yeah. You can feel it big time when like you're always doing it in the worst conditions and all of a sudden you're in like nice dirt. It's like, oh, okay, well my balance has improved, or my, you know, my kind of throttle response, like throttle control and clutch control has improved. So that's been really cool. I've noticed that.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah. We don't have too much faster stuff here. It seems like we're all pretty low engine hour type riding, but lots of it.
Right. I really want to come out that way. Like I did the race in Terrace last fall.
Oh, we just missed you then.
Oh really?
Yeah. That was a pretty rad one. And then my wife and I rode the day before. I was just like, man, this place is sick. And then I've seen some of the images like from in the Smithers area, and I'm like, I want to ride that. It looks fun. So
yeah, we got some good stuff. I think if you like riding shitty lines and tough stuff for racing this year,
have you heard anything about like our local kind of races that we have here other than the Terrace ones?
Yeah, I was actually, so after the Terrace race, I was like pretty hyped to, I probably wasn't going to be able, just with work and kind of just general life, being able to do the whole thing wasn't going to be realistic. But I had the Smithers ones flagged, and I wanted to get out to the Kitimat Hardenduro as well to try that one out. But I guess, yeah.
Yeah, we've been excited about the Kitimat.
I think we'll just kind of see what happens, right? Like, whatever.
Yeah, it's a weird state of the world right now.
Totally. I think whatever opportunities present themselves, though, I'll definitely be trying to do my best to get out there. Like, honestly, the biggest thing that I felt coming from, like, racing moto for so many years, and then I've done some of the, like, the races down south, the off-road races, and I felt like a sense that it was a lot more, I guess, community-based and just more mellow. And then coming out to Terrace for that race, I was like, this is insane, dude. Like, so mellow, and everyone's just down to, like, hang out. And basically, it was like an organized ride is what it was. And it was awesome. Like, that's what I want to do. You know, I don't feel like I want to be stressed out and worried about who thinks what and all that stuff. Like, I just want to come and ride and have people that are stoked to ride with. So I was really looking forward to racing out there this year.
Yeah, totally. We're definitely a pretty small community as far as the off-road dirt biking goes. I think that the Smithers Dirt Bike Club is essentially just a mass messenger group on Facebook.
It's all that works, man. That works.
Yeah. I think there's like, was there 14 people on there? And yeah, we're going here on Saturday at this time. But yeah, no, that's good. Even if you got a spare weekend or something this summer and you come up here, we'd definitely be more than happy to tour you around a couple of the good places.
Yeah, I'd be excited to try that. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, maybe a little different than what you usually ride. All right, how far do we make her?
Yeah, we're coming to about the right time. We have a couple questions that we want to start throwing out to people we interview, and the first one is just a social shout out. We find a lot of people through Instagram, so if there's an account that you follow that you just enjoy, they don't necessarily have to be big or small, just account that when the content pops up, you're like, oh yeah, this is, I enjoy this.
Yeah. I think one that I'm pretty stoked on right now, a buddy of mine down in Kamloops has started a channel on Instagram called Dirt Bike Scene. It's like dirtbike_scene. And I'm just stoked on it. It's kind of one of those like compilation accounts, but it's all pretty much like Western, like BC, Alberta riders and content. So it's a cool way to just see who's out there and who's kind of doing stuff. And you can always click through and check out people's pages. And it's a good way, I think, to just like find people to follow and connect with. So yeah, probably be the one that I'm vibing on right now.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out. I mean, you get some, yeah, good Canadian content.
Totally.
That's the hardest part, is finding something that's half-assed local to follow and actually enjoy their content as well.
Yeah, I have like so many people from like Idaho and Utah, and I'm like, I don't know.
So many.
I'm like, this is sick, but it's like not super relevant to realistically. Like, I want to be able to connect with people so I can actually like get information about where to ride and like maybe get a chance to like meet up with them and ride and that sort of stuff, right? So that's why I've been digging this one that Jeremy started.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have Trailbound Co. on Instagram?
I do, yeah.
Oh, man. That page for me just gets me. It's just out of hand.
Kyle loves zip ties.
Okay, yeah.
He's one of those guys.
I am blown away at like, yeah, there's Trailbound. There's another guy named Ty Huey. I don't know what his real name is, but that's his Instagram. And I'm just like, dude,
yeah,
I'm like, how do you guys afford like all these parts? Because they just ride in like the most savage rock gardens always. And you literally...
They wreck everything all the time.
Dude, you fall over and their bikes just shatter into a million pieces. Like, I'll go like, you know, full season without even dinging the end of my grip. Because like, we're just constantly riding like loamy dirt and the odd tree root. So...
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And they break their bikes in ways that you just don't even understand. You're like, how did you do that?
Yeah. Like, you're like, oh, okay, I guess that's how that would happen. But like, I would have never thought it could happen because I don't ever ride that, you know? It's crazy.
Totally. They stoved in the inlet and outlet of their radiator on that Trailbounds bike there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Don't know how that happens.
Good luck, man.
And so the other question was a pump up song for yourself. So you're going into the biggest race of your life and you're listening to some tunes. You got to pick one song. What would you go to?
So I realized that my go-to almost every ride last year when I was like gearing up was I was listening to Homicide by Logic. It was like the one with Eminem.
Oh yeah.
So I would crank that every time I was gearing up, and I'd only ever make it probably like 2/3 of the way through the song before I was all geared up and I'd shut it off. But I'd say check that out. The other, the other thing that I've been bumping a lot lately, which is like super anti pump up. Do you guys know Jimmy Hill?
I'm not familiar.
Absolutely not.
Sorry. Okay. Not familiar.
It's all good. I would
give us a rundown.
Jimmy Hill is like like the coolest free ride guy who like is so chill and rad, but he makes music too. It's called Hillsack. His Instagram is Hillsack, but he makes this like cool lo-fi kind of beats that like you can check out on Spotify. So I've been listening to a lot of that too, which is fun.
Yeah, let's check that out. We'll add that. We're going to start a playlist going, and as we interview people, just keep stacking songs on and get this strange eclectic collection of
tunes. It'll be a mess, but it'll be still fun.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm really hoping that it goes from like Merle Haggard to Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, that's ideal.
Thank you for joining us on this episode and taking the time. Definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, and I think what you guys are doing is cool. I'm like excited to kind of grow this like Northern Enduro kind of crew and be able to ride with a bunch of rad people, I hope.
Yeah, make the world a little smaller.
Totally.
Just that much more local content we got out there, which is good.
Totally.
Yeah, perfect.
All right.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay.
And we'll be in touch. We'll ride together soon, I hope.
Yeah, hopefully.
Sounds good.